Hello and welcome to Audionautic Deep Space Network, episode 100. We are officially triple digits. This is the Independent Musician's Guide to Production and Promotion. And today we've got a deep dive into the new Bliss Vox plugin, a very cool pitch correction and vocal modulation plugin. We'll also discuss GAS or gear acquisition syndrome and how to best deal with it. Thanks to everyone who's joining us live and much love to all of our patrons who help support what we do. My name is Sunwarper, and with me today, well, first of all, we have a ton of lovely patrons and friends in the chat, so I just want to go through that quickly. Bendu's in the chat. What's going on, Bendu? How are you? Survey Channel is here. Awesome. He pried himself away from all the Silent Hill jams to join us. Very happy. Love those jams, though, that you're making over on your YouTube. Very cool. We've also got Lars talking about Cracker Barrel. We were having a discussion. Lars is in the green room right now. To join us hopefully in the round robin, but we're talking, there's no, at least where I am, there's maybe there are now, but I've never found a Cracker Barrel near me in California. And he was like, no, you know, he couldn't believe it. Abby is in the chat. Abby, welcome, always happy to have you. Yeah, thanks for everybody joining us in the chat, always great to have you, and it's awesome to celebrate episode 100. Lars says waffles and grits, that sounds good, man. I'm starving, so yeah, I'm gonna try to not just like desire waffles and grits right now. But with me today, sorry about that. I'm still getting over being sick. With me today are Eon Lake and Curtis.
Hello.
How's it going? Are we all here? Everyone. All here. It's beautiful. We're all here. People are flooding. Maureen's friend has just flown in as well.
Yes, hello, I was waiting to share it, but I'll share it. Maureen's friend, what's going on?
Hey. Straight away. Yeah. We are at 100 episodes. It's insane. We're triple digits, like you say. You know, we just, you know, keep on rolling. Got to keep on rolling. More on that later. Eon, like, you're good. We had a bit of a chaotic start. Everything fine at your end? No. We're quite bamboozled. Can't believe we're quite here. But we have got a jam-packed episode. Should we start with Bliss? Should we get to Bliss? Should we get straight into that?
Of course we should start with Bliss. Yeah, just want to share. Pat is also in the chat. How's it going, Pat? Happy to have you.
Welcome back for this 100th episode. Yeah, we got a live demo. We're splitting this into two parts. I'm gonna bring up the VST itself in Ableton, and we're gonna go through the UI and how it works and how you kind of run it through. And then Sunwarper, along with Luca, has created a wonderful little pre-recorded demo, and we're gonna get into that. It's gonna be amazing. So let me share my screen so we can see.
Yeah, first I just want to give a little bit about the plugin. Bliss Vox just came out. They were kind enough to send it over to us to check out. It's currently $29, but I think long term it will be $39. It's a vocal, what do you want to call it, modulator. It can do pitch correction and then some modulation and things like that. So I'll let Curtis talk all about it because he's got it pulled up. We'll get it here, and I just wanted to set the stage a little bit. I'll put the link to it if you want to check it out in the chat, and then after the video ends I'll put it in the description.
Yeah, so this is it. And they're coming up some really beautiful things. I think before we get into anything proper, I'd say Bliss as a company, I think they're a French company. They're doing some really cool ideas and really cool things with their VSTs, which are highly affordable as well. The Megalit we've demoed here before.
Oh, Megalit is I will always sing the praises of Megalit. It's so good. Yeah. It's all over Music for Imagined Landscapes. Like the one song, Monolith's Memories, it's just Bliss, Megalit. Just like, because it blew my computer up, but it's a ton of instances of Megalit.
Have you had much work with them, Eon Lake?
I'm using Megalit a lot. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. This one I go to if I want a soft synth, it's one of the first ones I go to still. It's and I like the fact that all their interfaces look like that. They're nice, logical, easy to use, you know, shows what it's doing.
There's a consistency between them as well, I think, which is really nice. You can tell it's a Bliss one. And they're doing some really fundamental things, which are really game-changing, but also really affordable, which is really nice. So I like this. By the way, we should say that Bliss sent this across. We've developed a bit of a relationship with them. They send us stuff, and it's nice. They don't have any say over what we say. This is our opinion. So I'm going to take you through the UI. This is where it is. And if anyone tuned into our Voices demo last year, you'll see there's a few similarities which are coming around, and we'll get into that in a bit. But I'm just going to take you through this for now. So First things first to note, it works on both MIDI and audio, which is really cool. So you, whether you've got a voice sample, or you've got something coming through a VST, something like that, this will work for you. Essentially, it is a vocal manipulation or a manipulation VST in general, which is really nice. We'll start on the left and we'll go across. So over here, as you can see, yeah, it's moving. That's cool. You've got the tune. This is your tuner, or it's your auto tune, so to speak. And you can decide how much or how much of a blend you want to do that. You can choose your key, ranging the full octaves all the way through. And obviously your scale as well, where you have got chromatic, major, natural minor, harmonic minor, melodic minor, major pentatonic, and minor pentatonic. Quite the variations there, which is quite nice to see in that regard. And then you can see how quickly it's going to come on, a bit like pre-delay in that regard, how much of the dry signal is going to come through before it starts to affect. Depends how well you can sing. I sing terribly, so we're just going to put that straight onto zero
Put that correction right up to 100.
No one needs to know what I'm about and how I sing. That's fine. One thing that is really nice on this is the vibrato. It can really make things sound quite trippy and quite ghostly, which is really, really nice. Vibrato, as you would expect most vibratos to be, you've got the speed of the vibrato coming through, how much you want it affecting your sound, and then you've got how quickly it affects, again, a bit like a pre-delay in that regard. We come over here now to the main Mac Daddy, as we saw it. I haven't used that word Mac Daddy in a long while since we were cutting up full videos of ADSN. There we go. That's a trip down memory lane.
Bring it back. Yeah. Since it is episode 100, right?
Exactly. This is the main overlay, as we can see here. Now, we've got transpose and we've got flatten, and then these things move, right? So transpose first. This is your pitch correct. You can go as low as an octave below.
Pitch shifting. Sorry, just wanted to. Pitch shifting.
Pitch shifting, sorry, yes, yeah. You're completely right. So you can go from down below an octave, or you can go above an octave, and then you can format it, which is effectively, I don't know the technical details, I'm not going to lie, but I just know it makes a really cool sound on the vocal itself. Maybe you've got
it makes
idea.
It trippy. The technical term is it makes it really trippy.
I think it's just like it's a comb filter or something that brings out the absorbents that are there and enhances them. Or de-emphasizes them, depending on where you put it.
I like that. I'm so happy you're here, Eon Lake. You make everything sound nice and wonderful. That's great.
That's why he's here. He's our wise wizard.
He is the wise wizard. He is the wide wizard of electronica. That is going to go on a t-shirt. The wise
Eon Lake, the wise.
The only one without a beard as well.
Yep. Well, someone has to just not follow the mandate.
Representing barefaced wizards everywhere.
Yeah, he's a rebel. Eon Lake's the rebel.
Exactly.
What's flatten? What happens?
Flatten is trippy. So flatten is, this was on Voices as well, but this lets you just set every sound coming in to a set note. So you could do anything.
Right.
And then you can do the formants and make it sound really trippy. I do that with a little bit of Lucas talking. I set it to G3 and then I messed with the format and it just becomes, and then I added like an enveloper to do cut off. So it became like an arpeggiate, like a single note, like a stab note or something. It's pretty trippy.
Wow.
It works especially if you're looking to sing the likes of Taylor Swift or Billie Eilish, for example, is really good at just creating those stuck rhythms and those stuck tones. It's really nice.
Yeah, bring up Taylor Swift every episode, I feel.
Yeah. It's gonna be done, man. It's gonna be done. She's a force to be reckoned with. One of the differences that you can see here is that we do have this unison badge here on the voices. You can manipulate voices independently. You can have up to 4 voices. This you can have up to 10 voices, but they have to all be manipulated in one. So you can detune it as much as you want. You can create harmonics. You can create more of a fill. You can stereoize it. Both here and at the bottom here, but you know, you've got you can make it polyphonic, so to speak, but then you can't affect them independently of one another. And then finally, around here, you've got standard gain and your dry wet signal and all that malarkey. It's fairly simple in the best of ways, as in it's very clear cut, always with Bliss. It's always very clear cut and you can always see what's going on. So that's it in its own right.
Now, the real time button, I'm assuming that that is going to sacrifice a little bit of quality to reduce latency and vice versa, depending on whether you've got it on or not. Yeah.
You're completely correct there. Yes, that's exactly what it does. Thank you for picking that up. Yes.
He's there to fill in where we miss, right?
Exactly.
The wise wizard knows all.
He arrives exactly when he means to, and he just fills in the information. As
there it is. There it is.
So yeah, we love you, Ian Lake. On this Valentine's Day, let me just tell you how much I love you. And yes, thank you for being here. It's all great. It's wonderful.
Love you too, bro.
So yeah, this is it in its own right. Now, I do have, we'll go through a sound demo before we start getting into it and analyzing it. I have also got a copy of Voices up here, so we can maybe have a look at the differences in the UIs, maybe come back to that. But for now, if you want some more, we can head across to you and have a look at your lovely voice demo and your collab.
So I'm gonna collab
with Luca.
Yeah, a collab with it. It's pretty trippy to do that. I mean, I'd like to spend more time with this. Like, it's very just simple. I just wanted to do a quick demo. A couple caveats. First of all, I say it in the video, but I am getting over being sick. So I just for the sake of the video to show what Bliss Vocs can do, Vox can do, I kept in my raw recording, like of recording. I play the sound that is going in. It's not the worst thing in the world, but you know, it's there. But then we quickly pitch it. One thing I do, I was under the impression originally that it'd be mainly used for pitch correction. I think that's not true. I think it's mainly its main intent is to be used for vocal manipulation and modulation. So just to clarify that when I say it in the video, I think it is meant more for modulation, but it does do pitch correction. And to answer what Lars was asking, is this like auto-tune but less annoying? Depends on what you consider in terms of annoying. It's the Bliss Vocs is not annoying, but I don't know what you mean by annoying, like the pitch to 100%. You can get that kind of sound with Bliss Vocs, but you can tone down the correction like Curtis was showing. For my demo, I kept it at 100 because I really wanted to make a synth out of my voice. We did that with Voices as well, but yeah, I wanted to make a synth out of my voice, and then I wanted to turn some of my five-month-olds talking into like melody lines. So let's play it. That's enough talk. Let's play it, and we'll see where we get with it. Hey, what's up? So Curtis walked us through the UI for Bliss Vocs. So now I want to take a look at using some vocal sounds and seeing what we can do with them. Now, the majority of users for Bliss Vocs will probably take it and use it as a pitch correction tool for singing, right? But we here at Audionautic like to do things a little bit differently. So we're going to take some vocal samples and see what we can do with them, how we can mangle them using Bliss Vocs. So I am just getting over being sick. I wanted to record some sounds to create samples out of to resample and use in ambient music, but my voice is really wavering and, you know, it's still recovering from all the coughing and things like that. So I recorded a quick take. I'm a little embarrassed to share it, but for the sake of showing what we can do, even with not the best recording, I'm going to share it with you, and then we'll add Bliss Vocs to it and see how we can fix it up, add some reverbs, things like that, and hopefully create a lush ambient sound from a very simple recording. So here's the original. Okay, let's get Bliss on there so that you don't have to hear that again. So we'll go and we'll add the tune, and we're going to switch it to G major because that's what I was trying to sing in. Now, Curtis walked us through the UI already, but I'm going to add a little vibrato. I'm going to keep the pitch where it's at, but I think to make chords, we're going to mess with that later. I am going to add a second voice in unison, but not that much detune. Now let's see what it sounds like. Lot better. The pitch is definitely smoother. The transitions are a bit better. There's less rough edges between everything. So now we're going to add the secret weapon, so to speak, for ambient sounds. And that's Valhalla Supermassive, a free plugin. I'm going to go to my favorite patch, Synth Cloud, and we'll do about a 70%, 75% wet. Now let's hear what it sounds like. Okay, now we've got it. Now, the last thing I want to do is that little end tail I want to bring up, because it's a little, that last bit I had to time stretch was a little quieter. So, okay, perfect. Now we need to make chords out of this. So I'm going to create a duplicate and I'm going to move this just right down there. And then we're going to go and mess with the pitch. So we're going to bring it up 4 semitones and let's hear what that sounds like. Let's make it a full chord and let's go up 7. And then I think we might do one that's down 12 as well to get a bass note. Perfect. Yeah, let's get that bass sound in just to round out the sound a little bit. So we'll just go here and just drop the pitch to 12. I'm going to add a little vibrato attack, change the speed, add a little more amount. Perfect. All right. Now I have some sounds from my 5-month-old son that I did a little quantizing to, and I'm curious if we can get it to fit. We've got a really lovely chord sound, but I want to see if we can get some kind of melody. Now, I don't know how this is going to work, but let me just play what these sounds are. Okay, so I'm hoping maybe with some bliss vocals on there, we can get something interesting. What I'm going to do is just set this flat to G3. That's on the first one. And on the second one, we'll put it to B or G major and just see what happens here. Go with a far faster pitch correction. Let's add some super massive and see what happens when we get that. I know the other thing we can do is take the enveloper, comes with Logic, see what happens there. If we up the attack, drop that, make it much more percussive. Okay, that's something. Let's duplicate the enveloper and Valhalla on. Okay, and let's try just adding some Echo Boy. Now, there's other things we could try. We could do resampling it properly, seeing what we can get there. But I just want to do this quick, just as an experiment. I have an idea, and I think it's going to require moving these around, but also dropping these. Take these and we're going to move them down. And I'm going to go here and we're going to flatten. And let's go to C4. See what this sounds like. Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. So we'll leave it there for now, as this is just a quick demo. But with some sound shaping, we were able to get a melody out of Luca, my son's voice, which I really like. It's kind of surreal to hear his voice mixed with mine in this melodic sound in a way that you would never expect. So I appreciate you joining me on this interesting little sonic adventure. I know Bliss Vocs is mainly there to be pitch correction, but I like to show that you can take something that's for one type of sound or purpose and use it for something completely different. So if you're not a singer, something like Bliss Vocs or a pitch correction can be used to fix the sound you're putting in, but then you can really go crazy by changing semitones, creating chords out of it. Just imagine if you were to chop even just this first section of my sample that I made a full chord out of, you'd have a one-shot chord that you could do all kinds of things with in a sampler, in your DAW, anything like that. So if you're looking to create a unique synthesizer sound that no one has, this is how to do it without having to deal with learning all about waveforms, oscillators, all that kind of stuff. Quick, easy, and it gets you into creating in unique ways. If you have a melody stuck in your head, you can hum it out or sing it out, pitch correct it with Bliss Vocs, and then create chords out of it. And you've got your full chord progression done, and then you can tweak it. If you throw that waveform into a sampler, you can do a lot with ADSR, things like that. So the sky's kind of the limit. I hope you enjoyed this little demo. And if you like these kind of demos, be sure to hit like on the video. It helps a ton. And now we'll get back to the show. Yeah, so there we go. So yeah, I've definitely wanted to do more experimentation with Lucas sounds. I just didn't have the time, but I'm thinking I wanted to try to get a percussive sound. So that's why I didn't double the sample time, as Ian Lake said in the chat. But I think if you were to stretch it, you could get more of a pad out of it. And I'd rather put those sounds into like the DigiTac to mess with it there. Like that's just how I like to use sampling more. But yeah, using the formant and stuff, you could really get it to sound like it to me sounded like crows almost, like taking field recordings of crows, but then getting it into like a melodic, like setting the times I quantized it, did that. So I wanted to do something really weird with it. So not like the typical, oh, this is turning the voice into like a piano sound or something. Like I wanted it to be very trippy. So that's where I went with it. But you could do all kinds of stuff with it and mixed with the DAW, you know, stretching things, doing all that kind of stuff. It's interesting what you can get with it. But Ian, like you haven't checked this out. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on all of this. So if you don't mind going first,
my friend. I think it looks like a very usable plugin. And it was pretty funny how quickly you came up with something that sounded really good there.
I think it turned into Canon and G, though. Paco Bell's Canon. Yes, I know it's Canon exactly and G, but I know it's Canon and D, but I was like, wow, I think I just did it. And then I was like, wait, I'm in G. I think that one's in D, but it must be the same intervals. But yeah. But
yeah, it's the same progression, isn't it? But
yeah,
I really liked it. And I found myself thinking, you know, I mean, I like to misuse plugins a lot. And I think this is one of those plugins that can be really good for what it's intended for and can be equally good for things it's not intended for. So, you know, generally speaking, taking inharmonic sounds and making them harmonic. So, I mean, it could be anything from wind, you know, or any kind of sustained sound or sounds that aren't. I mean, in Ableton, I find it very easy just to hit the multiply button on an audio clip and double it and then double it again. It can get a little bit grainy, but sometimes that also sounds good. And I think with that and a plugin on it and just being able to duplicate tracks and repitch and stuff, I mean, I think you can come up with something really quickly with something that is not, you know, found sounds that aren't musical. It could be an interesting way out of, I don't know, when you're in a creative rut, can't think of something to do. Think of something you should.
And I think the flatten comes in really handy too when it comes to enharmonic sounds, because you can take anything and just get it set. Like, I want this at C3. I want this at G4, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. And then suddenly you can block harmony it as well.
Exactly. Or you could throw it into a sampler, stretch it out across the key bed, and then you've got this new keyboard. Now, Curtis, I know you have loaded up a comparison between voices and Vox, so I want to go to that if you're ready, Curtis, unless you have something else you want to add, or Ian, if there's anything else you want to add. But yeah,
I'll be interested in the comparison.
Yeah, let's do it. So Curtis, are you good to go? Shall I share your screen?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, so this is both. And okay, just for starters, in terms of, let's just put this in terms of what you get for pricing, right? So introductory price for the Vox is $29. It will go up to $39 at some point, probably when later down the line. And then the voices is now $70. It's now $70. And you can see the differences that we've got here. Now, you've got the one Vox box. Hey, one Vox box in the Vox plugin, and then you've got four Vox plugins. Four Vox boxes in the plugins. I'm tying myself in twisters here.
It's all right, man.
It's all good. So yeah, as you can see, both have got the tune on there, that in the voices can be then routed to the different voices depending what you want to go for. Within the voice boxes themselves, the voices, for a little bit more, you get to play around with the filters, for example. You can play with delays and you can stereoize different effects and stuff like that. You also, as somewhat keenly pointed out just before we went on air, is they do have a piano roll. They have a piano roll in there, which suggests that, and you can effectively, when you sing into the microphone, you'll be able to see what you're singing. So you actually kind of can tell how far, or in my case, how far off key you
are. Well, I'm not sure if it's that. It's been a while since I've used voices. I'm not sure if it's that or if it's for the MIDI / like vocoding. I can't remember if it shows the pitch. I can't remember. Maybe it does. But that is one thing I wanted to say for Vox. I really like using Vox or Vox, and it's simplified, which I like, because if you just need something quick, you throw it on right there. One thing I'd like to see, since it does pitch correction, is I would love to see on both of these like a meter, a pitch meter, you know, see what you're singing into it so that you can know where you're going with it. That would really be nice, because I'm not a trained singer or anything, but if I wanted to sing melodies, like, it helps if you can see the note you're going for, and then you can, you know, like, oh, I am singing G. Okay, cool, because that's where I want to be in or whatever. So it's great as is, but I would love to see something like that if there's an update or something. Like, that would be really cool to see.
I suppose you could put a tuner plug in.
That's what I did. That's what I did. I put a tuner before it so that I could see. But it'd just be nice if it was all right there. If you have it open, it'd be cool to be like, oh, okay, I am at least attempting to sing a G, even though it's off, you know, by this many cents or whatever. So now it's just going to fix it. Which, again, I really think the purpose for this plugin is more take sounds and like take already sung sounds or something and throw it in, mess with the formants, do unisons, make like it's more of a sound manipulator. So but since it does pitch correction, I think it'd be cool if you're singing into it to see that. But I don't think that's its main intent. So I understand it.
And I think that touches on an interesting point. I think what are the differences between the two, and what are the strengths, and what are each geared towards? I think you might have the official wording of what they've got over there. I will once I can close this. But
yeah, so basically, Bliss Vox is described as gateway to effortless sonic manipulation. Cutting edge processor immerses you in a world of sonic possibilities, effortlessly shaping every nuance of your vocal performances. So yeah, I think it's meant to be kind of like end of the chain. Take things in the background, do some really cool stuff with it. And then Voices is a flexible and powerful audio plugin dedicated to pitching, transforming, doubling, and harmonizing vocals and other monophonic sources. So, yeah.
And that's what I think are the key difference here. I think you hit the nail on the head. With Vox, you're taking samples and manipulating them and changing how they sound and things like that. Whereas your Voices, I think, is more of a real-time input of vocals, which you can then harmonize and manipulate on the way, a bit like, I think it's in here, a bit like Waves Harmony, which is usually around about $150. I think voices closer to that, where Vox is for your sampling and for your resampling and for your editing and stuff like that. Because within the Voices as well, you do get a lot more in terms of modulation and the sequencer and stuff like that. So there's, I think, like I say, this would be your Voices would be for your if you're on stage and if you're sending your vocals through some sort of through the software to then be projected out into the audience, perhaps something like that, because it can be also used through iPad. Whereas Vox is kind of like for the beat makers and for the samplers and for those who don't necessarily want to spend $70 on something.
Yeah, I think it really depends on your needs. One thing I like with Vox is how quick it is to just get it up, set it. And like for example, taking those sounds from Luca and just turning them, like flattening them, getting a static sound. What I would do, like I was saying, if I were to continue with this sample idea, the track I was like working on, I would take that G note I made of his and set it into a keyboard. And then I could actually perform a melody rather than just relying on the auto-tuned version and the flattened sounds. I could actually make melody using the piano. And I think, for me, at least, that's kind of how I see using that plugin, is to take sounds and sources and then create tuned things out of it. It's great to do those chords too, but like so I had to make four tracks to make that chord. But if I was using Voices, I could have just used one track and set the four voice boxes to, oh, okay, I want this one at 0, this one at 4 semitones, this one at 7, that one at 12. So I like that I could still do it with this one and still did it relatively quickly. But I think the taking sources and mangling them using the format, which we didn't delve into a ton. I used it a little bit on those flattened notes. But if you want to see more about the format and what you can do with it, let us know. We can always do a follow-up to this, or, you know, post little things in the Discord. But I think the format especially is kind of like the main sound tweaking possibility in that one. You can just do a lot with the formant there, and it gets pretty trippy and pretty robotic and crazy sounding. So yeah,
I hear that.
Yeah, like you. I thought you had something to say, but then you muted. You looked like you were going to say something.
It's just one seems to be relatively reasonably priced. Well, it's cost versus control, it seems to me. One's relatively reasonably priced. It's got a good suite of things you can do to audio sources, whereas the other one's got a lot more control, you know, on the individual voices, how they sound, where they're panned, envelopes, modulation, and so on. So I guess it's to a certain extent how far you want to go, or if you just want something that's, you know, pretty flexible and pretty quick and easy to use and gives you a good range of possibilities.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to put it. And one thing I do want to say is like the voices with all those different possibilities is very similar to their other plugins with all the crazy modulation you can do, all the control, like you're saying. So if you need that, that's what that one's for. But if you just need quick pitch correction, you know, to make harmonies, but maybe not all in one box, but to make duplicate tracks and stuff, like that's where this one comes in more into play, is like the quicker. And as Curtis said, like for beat makers making trippy sounds, or if you wanted to make sounds, like if you had voice samples that you wanted to actually fit into the key, you could just do that really quick. Like Curtis uses tons of voice samples of spoken word and things, but like if you wanted them to actually fit into the song in key or like background and add reverb and stuff, you could do that, right, Curtis?
Yeah, for sure. As in you could put that there and you could just have that running and it could wash over, and then bringing in one of Eon Lake's envelope followers make that really beautifully lush and move up and down with everything.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's like a Venn diagram, isn't it? There's definitely overlap between all of them, and it just depends on what you want to get out of it, how much you're willing to sink on it, that kind of thing. Both are really solid plugins. Both are really solid pieces of software which are going to really change what you want to do. And I don't like, again, it's why not both? It's like they have that notion of both being able to do something really well, and it's just about how much you as a producer need all the bells and whistles of, say, voices, for example, or whether you could get away with just using Vox and just as you just hit Control D, Control D, Control D, and slightly change parameters and stuff like that.
Hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's a good way to put it. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Is it, you guys got anything else on that, or is there anything else that we need to say?
I think we went over everything. Chat, if you have any questions about the plugin or anything like that, let us know. And like I said, if you want to see us go into more about Foreman and all that, like really get into the sound design there, we just kind of tested the waters in the video we did. But let us know if you're watching this back, let us know in the comments, or if you're on Apple or Spotify listening to the podcast, first of all, consider leave a rating. It helps a ton. It's the best way to help get our show out to more ears, because that's on podcast, but on Spotify it is video, I guess, so ears and eyes, I suppose. But yeah, it helps a ton. We've seen a big growth there, so we love seeing all of you there. It's great to have you. But on Spotify there is a question on every video, so on this one I'm going to ask what you think. Do you use vocals in this kind of way, something to that effect? I'll make it make more sense, but I'm curious, like do you manipulate vocals? Do you take sound sources and add form of filters, add pitch correction and things like that? Or do you like to do kind of like the Curtis, what Curtis does, where you just take samples, voice samples, and just kind of put it over it to kind of tell like a story or something? Or do you do both?
Well, both. What was I going to say? I had something and then you finished talking and I completely forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's the way it goes, man. It's the way it goes.
It is the way it goes. It'll come back to me. Thank you ever so much for Bliss for sending that across to us. Thank you. We always appreciate it. It's like it cropped up on like a Saturday evening for me at my end, and I was just sitting there journeying, bling, and it's like, Bliss, you've got a new product. I was like, oh! And so yeah, thank you ever so much. Really love demoing this stuff for you. So yeah.
Yeah, I do want to say sorry, Curtis, but I'll put a link after the video ends, and it'll be in the show notes on Apple and Spotify. But we've done multiple reviews. Arpeggiator was the latest one, and that was an awesome plugin, and they just updated it, and I think it fixed some of the logic issues and stuff like that. So Bliss Arpeggiator is awesome if you're looking for arpeggiators and things like that. So I'll put a couple of the reviews we've done. It's definitely an interesting plugin company to check out if you're looking for some very deep sound design that's not super complicated to get into. That's my favorite thing about them. Like you look at like you look at voices and there's all those sections and all that, but it just starts to make sense as soon as you start using it. It's not super complicated. So yeah, if you're looking to get into sound design and stuff, it's a good way to go.
I'll be doing some more. I'll be mucking around with a bit further in my live stream after the show this evening, remixing my own stuff and putting voices on it and seeing what happens. So we'll see what happens there in that regard. That's where we're at. But it's time to say we are at our 100th episode, and it is something to be shouted about. We've made 100 episodes, and that's great. It's not like we're stopping anywhere, but it is 100. We are at 3, and we
would nice milestone.
It's a nice milestone, exactly. Yeah. And we wouldn't be here, and today is the day of love, and we would not be here, and we wouldn't be at our 100th episode if it weren't for our patrons. And so we love you. Thank you ever so much for your continued unwavering support, because, you know, it gives us the ability to show up here every week and talk about this stuff, which people don't really get. And then we can come in here and start talking about this stuff, and we're like, oh, yeah. And this is all down to you. This is your show. So thank you ever so much for your continued support. At 100th episode, you know, StreamYard, this platform that we stream in, is down to you. And thank you. You know, we have so much to be thankful for you guys. And yeah, just I can't really say it enough. We really appreciate it. It's amazing. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah, if you want to help support the show, head to patreon.com/audionautic. The link is in the description. It's the best way to support the show. It's how we keep coming week in, week out. It's how we can run the Discord, which we're creating a positive space on the internet for talking about all kinds of synth nerd stuff, you know, gear, LFOs, envelope followers, whatever you want to talk about. There's someone there that wants to talk about this stuff and get excited instead of speaking to a significant other or a friend. Their eyes just glaze over. So we love having this space. It's great to talk about all this kind of stuff. But this is the 100th episode, and we had a deal going with one of our patrons. Lars had never... Now, I used Supermassive just now, right? Valhalla Supermassive. We talk about Valhalla Supermassive so much, it became a part of the Audionautic drinking game, if you follow that, which I hope you don't, because, man, you'd be gone by the end of most episodes. But Lars, one of our patrons, has never used Valhalla Supermassive, and he made a deal with us on the show in the round robin to check it out and make a song for the 100th episode. And I assumed he probably forgot, so I reminded him on the Discord, just saying, hey, it's the 100th episode. Wonder what Lars has cooked up with Valhalla. And he delivered in one day. He made a banger. So we're going to check it out real quick. It's a pretty cool song. He was like, oh, I didn't know you guys enjoyed it. But we were like, this is awesome. So, yeah, let's play it. Let me, can I add it to the show, Curtis?
Yeah, bring it up. I think we got it here. It's called Sax Wash. Happy 100th.wav. I'm assuming that .wav is official. We'll see. All right.
Let's no, it's it. AIFF. That's all part of the name, man.
It is. Are you guys getting it?
No, I'm not sure the sound's coming through. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not hearing it.
Hang on. We'll try
one more time. But if it doesn't work, we'll get it on the Discord after. But hopefully it does work, because it was really cool. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with free plugins, as we always talk about. So I can try to share it too, Curtis, if you can't get the sound working.
I'm following this. He does appear to be slightly more disposed towards our beloved plugin of choice.
I know. That's why I thought he had used it when we did this whole bet originally. I was like, you've used Supermassive, right? No. It's like, how have you? I don't think he's ever used Paul Stretch either. It makes no sense, because it seems like it would be right up, you know, what he likes to do and stuff. But he did say, if he can come on the round robin, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he did say he's become a follower of the Supermassive. The Supermassive. All right, let's try if this works. You got the volume really low. See if you can... Yeah, it's still not coming through. All right, let me see if I can share it, and maybe we'll get sound that way. Just give me a sec. You guys talk, and we'll figure it out.
This is what I kind of like, this kind of community side of things, like this notion of you can throw something to someone across the other side of the world that you've never met in real life, and then, you know, a story builds and a narrative is born. And I find that quite exciting in that regard, like connecting people. You
know? What is spectacularly weird is when you meet somebody in real life that you've known for years on servers and chat rooms and you've collabed with and stuff. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Because you know them, but you don't know them. But you do know them, but you don't know them.
You don't know them.
Well, look at the three of us. I'm ready to share, but I just want to add to that. Look at the three of us. I mean, we've never met in person, and we're at episode 100. And before these 100 episodes, we did other episodes of different versions of the show before we did ADSN. Ian, like, sadly, was not a recurring appearance, but he came on multiple episodes, Modular, some other stuff, and I learned so much from those episodes, even the Modular when I don't even use Modular. But there's always something to learn from Ian. Like, that's why he's on. It's for my own selfish edification, to learn something every episode. And hopefully everybody else learned something too. But let me see if this works. So, okay, you guys tell me if you get this sound. Okay.
Yes.
Love those drums.
I was not expecting that.
Me neither. I'll tell you what I was expecting after. All right, we'll end it there. I'll see if Lars is game to share it on the Discord. I'm assuming so. Yeah, Pat says Miami Vice drums. Yeah, I love those drums. And Survey Channel says Lars bringing out the vapors. Yeah, so when he yesterday was like, oh, I think I've got something. Hold on, I'll make something. I really thought he was going to go and find one of the episodes where we were just talking about Supermassive or like telling him to get it and just put that through Supermassive. Cause I was like, I don't think he's going to have the time to make a full song. Like, he'll just probably take our vocals, put it to 100%, you know, wet and just drift off to Trippy Town. But no, he made an outright banger. And Lars makes some incredibly eclectic sounding music, but he's got some music coming out on Audionautic Records, I think in July, I want to say. Yeah. Curtis can correct me. But yeah, I'm going to try to get that song on there if it's not like a sample issue, but I'm trying. This is all as we speak happening right now, but we're in talks. It's happening.
Yeah. It's cool. We like making stuff and we like fiddling with stuff and we like community driven events in the Discord. For one thing, I really like the collabs and challenges server or channel, as you say. You know, people just throwing out ideas to kind of make stuff, and it's really nice. It's like idea of just kind of randomization of life and music production. That
regard. I don't think anyone has used it as much as you have, as far as taking a challenge and running with it.
You got it. Like, it's when you get bogged down.
Had an award for that. You would have the medal, definitely.
No shit. It's born out of when I was writing Into Voidal. I just got so bogged down with structure, and I got so bogged down with writing. And then I was like, yeah, let's do something different. And it's great. It's fantastic. And it's community-based. That's what I really love about it. It's community-based. Recently got back into collabing as well. And it's like that notion of working with someone and doing something with another human being. Like, that's nice. Voyage 2, Sunwarper. Where are we at?
I mean, I forgot we had it, and then we remembered, and now we're working on it. Now, you want to talk going crazy. Those songs have no relation to each other. They're all over the place. So, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. We've got a packed full 2024, but I almost said 2023. I still didn't know we're in the new year, I guess. But, yeah, we got a packed year, so we'll see. We might try to fit that in, but that got crazy, that album. So, I don't know. We'll see where that goes. ASAP Stripe is in the chat. What's going on? Happy to have you. Yeah, and speaking of the collabs and contests channel, I will add those vocal monk chants, whatever you want to call it. I'll drop those in there. I'll put all four, so you can either have the full chord or you can just take the single one. But I'll drop those voice ones from Bliss if you want to just have a go with it, if anybody wants to see what they can do. A lot of people add some really cool samples in there. I think Smiling Errors dropped a couple that were really cool. And then Maureen's Friend is always putting the drums either in the patron chat or in that. I'm still waiting for Eon Lake drums, but Maureen's Friends are great too. just the more drums, the better, in my opinion. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, that's where we're at. So Curtis, you brought something for the marketing minute. I have been unable to do marketing minute for quite a while, but I will have some, I think, next week. There's a lot of news coming around. We had a good marketing minute last week, though, talking about all the changes with TikTok, and like, it's crazy what's going on with all the social media landscape. Some are pushing vertical. Now TikTok, who pioneered vertical, is pushing horizontal. But that's not what we're talking about today. Curtis brought this to the table, and it's Spotify joining forces with Bands in Town. So first, you want to explain for those that aren't familiar what Bands in Town is, and then get into what's going on here.
Should I also explain what Spotify is?
I don't think we need to go that far.
Evil. No. Okay. So
I think with that, I think we, that which shall not be named, right, is what we should refer to it as from henceforth.
Wonderful. Yeah. Good work. Bands in Town is a wonderful little app, website, whatever you want to call it, basically where you can search by location and you can put in your interests and what you like to see musically, artistically, whatever, and then you can go see where they're playing or if things are coming to you locally, and you can buy tickets. Essentially, it's like a bit like Ticketmaster, a bit like Go Out if you're here in Central Europe. I don't know what the American equivalent is, probably Ticketmaster, but yeah, it's one of those. But it's just another one. It's just another one. And it's primarily about, instead of it just going looking for a band that you want to play, be it something like that, it's about what is local to you. That's the key thing. What is local to you? And I find this really interesting. I'm just going to share my screen. Or can you pop it up?
Yeah, I can indeed.
One thing. So, yeah, so Spotify have previously tried to do this and failed miserably, right? You know, that old saying, if you can't do it again, be Spotify and try again. So
there it is. Yeah, I've heard that one before.
What I say, I think they've been drinking.
So yeah, so basically they're partnering together, so partnering Bands in Town to enhance live music discovery experience within the app. So you can go onto Spotify, find an artist you like, and you'll get a little ping or a little idea of when they're in town, or the notion of you can see, oh, what's in Prague, what's in Birmingham, what's in, you know, Orange, for example. I don't know how specific it goes in that regard. The idea is Bands in Town wants to assist artists in gaining recognition, filling up concert venues, for example, and then expecting fans to, by default, grow their fan base on Spotify as a result. This is idea of improving the user experience. So again, you know, they brought out merchandise and now they're going one step further in bringing the artist directly to the human being as far as it can get. And this all basically stems from when they started doing, you know, who's playing live in your area kind of thing on Spotify. This is a deeper version of it. From there, you'll be able to buy merch. You'll be able to buy tickets, for example, be able to see things. The idea is, I think, like I say, you can keep a follow of artists you like already and you've identified with, but also if you're in a location, you can say, hey, who's playing, and it will give you, this is who's playing, for example. And that's really dope in that regard, I think. The idea is that artists will be able to link their profile to Bands in Town, so those two will be conjoined, so you can buy tickets through them or through Spotify. So you've got like you've got two ends of the warp hole, so to speak, that you can suck people through. That's I think that's the official term. I think that's what they put in the headline.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I think this is pretty dope. I think this is pretty cool. I think obviously we've had a lot of controversy around about streams and stuff recently, and we've always come back to that notion of how long can Spotify last? How long is it going to be there for? If it's not turning profit and it's hemorrhaging money, you know, that how long is it actually going to be around for? You know, especially when this whole 1,000 stream things came in, it's like, are they just, you know, fighting for the end, that kind of thing. But this kind of brings in the notion of a social media aspect. It brings in the notion of localized experience of music in that regard, and brings along the idea of, you know, it's not just, you know, the electronic music world in which we exist in, is not just, you know, on the computer. It's not just in the interwebs. Now it can be a bit more, you know, there are people in the chat, for example, like Maureen's friend survey channel, for example, who are doing live, more live stuff, right? And they're looking at communities, you know, that kind of thing. And it's becoming more three-dimensional, so to speak. And this is a great way forward. And I think this is a really interesting step towards that notion.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Spotify, we talked even last year in early ADSNs about them adding some social media aspects with hashtags and vertical video that you swipe. And now I noticed that on playlists, on artists, and even on podcasts, on mobile, there's a little section right next to where you would heart and like follow and stuff. That's this little like square that shows an image and a circle goes around it. And if you click it, it goes to this vertical video where if you're on a playlist, it does the canvases and you can swipe to hear each song on the playlist, you know, and you see the canvas. On podcasts, it actually shows segments of each episode. Like if you go to Audionautic on Spotify and you click that on mobile, you'll see like little segments from each episode that you swipe up. So they're adding a lot of social media aspects and it keeps evolving. Now, we've never been fans of Spotify, but we always kind of thought, oh, it's good to be on there, good to be present. Well, Eon Lake is completely probably opposed, you know, but we at Audionautic like to be there, be present. But a lot has been changing with them given the 1,000 streams and stuff. But it is interesting to see them add some of this stuff. But how many electronic artists and up and comers and things like that are touring and playing shows? I don't know. I think it's good for them, but I still haven't seen much in terms of like what would convince a bedroom producer and stuff that like things that are helping them on Spotify, like the merch stuff. You have to have Shopify, which even to get the basic version, which has a lot of limitations, I think it's Shopify. You have to do Shopify. And I think the basic version is $5 a month. So already that's a cost per year that's going to rack up. And if you're only selling one or two shirts through it or something, and there's not really, besides being on your homepage of your artist, like your artist main page, it's not doing all that much. It might be on like the album page, but people who are on Spotify are there for streaming. So most physicals aren't going to be sold there. Shirts maybe, but you know, yeah. So it's like all these upfront costs. Now this hopefully is free. I can't recall if you said that this costs money to link, Curtis. I don't know.
It's free. Okay. It's no mention of it. So I'm going with that.
So that's cool. It'd be cool to see also, like if you're doing live streams on YouTube or something, I would love to see a link between Spotify, almost said Shopify, too many if I's. But I would love to see, as a YouTuber, like I do a lot with YouTube and Curtis, we do live streams and stuff. Be nice to see a link there besides just live shows. If you could do like going live on YouTube, you know, click this to go. So yeah, I mean, I'm still so mixed on Spotify right now, and this doesn't really change anything. The only thing that would change my viewpoint is if they rescinded or undid the 1,000 stream stuff, crap, whatever you want to call it, that they're doing. But it's nice to see, but it's like, how useful is this to any of us here, to anybody in the chat? Some of them, like Curtis said, do go live, but I don't know. It's like, is this enough? You know, now they're stealing our royalties. So this little placation, like, here you go, you can put your live shows on here. Like, okay,
put your little show on. Go on then.
Yeah. Here, we're being so kind. We'll give you this. Now stop complaining about not getting your royalties, right? Like, it's not enough for me. And I'd be curious if anybody is like either happy by this, which it's not wrong to be happy by this. That's a cool addition. But is this enough to warrant, you know, like, I've been changing my whole Spotify is like my least promoted thing now. I don't put it on my Instagram. Like, I will do Apple Music, which isn't even that great. YouTube, Bandcamp, of course. But it's like, if someone wants Spotify, I'm there, but I'm not going to promote it. So, yeah.
Eon Lake, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, I did a bit of an Eon Lake rant there, but
my thoughts on these things do change from time to time. What I say here is just what I think at the time, usually, and we like to argue both sides on here, even with issues that appear to be very one-sided. At the moment, I'm on the face of it, it's a cool addition. You know, if we were talking about another site or service, I'd probably be more positive about it. But you know, the doubtful in me thinks, right, so you're going to put me in touch with a load of people who don't want to buy my music, and you're going to let me try and sell merch and tickets to people who don't want to buy the music in the first place. I think you're probably just misdirecting your effort. You need to find different people. You know, Spotify, unfortunately, because of their main goal, their main business case of streaming, right? Mm-hmm. I think it to a certain extent precludes them from being useful in other areas other than just the whole exposure thing. And you know, it's just somewhere that I feel I should probably maintain a presence, but if I'm trying to sell anything, I don't think those are the people that are going to be buying it. I need exactly. to be looking elsewhere, and
perhaps live know, though yeah. I do see more like, oh, someone who is a fan and listens a lot might be like, oh yeah. And really quickly, I see something in the docket about this, Curtis, but I'll let you cover this because I know you did the docket bit. But Bendu says, is this new? I thought I used this when I had a show in New York City scheduled. They've always, for at least a couple of years, you were able to do, you could show the schedule of a live show. But I think this is a new team up, correct? They're adding more. Yeah. Go ahead, Curtis, if you don't mind elaborating.
So yeah, they've always had this kind of form and thing and idea. It's very unstable, chaotic, for want of a better phrase. Like, you can go, for example, bands in town is quite broad. It's quite big, for example, and a lot of people are on there, whereas everything else tends to be a bit more localized. So for example, you go onto an artist and you can say, I'll buy tickets, but then they're not actually registered with the thing, for example, so then it's a dead link, so there's no point to it, that kind of thing.
Are you saying on Spotify or on bands
on Spotify?
Yeah,
on Spotify. Okay. Whereas this is meant to be a bit more comprehensive, this is meant to be a bit more stable, this is meant to be better communication between the two. This, as the article says, it's not the first time Spotify have tried to do this, so that's, I find that interesting. That
I guess now they're just teaming up and linking with bands in town, so it's like a new. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And I think, so it's not this, they're not reinventing something new, not bringing in something new. They're revamping something, trying something better. In that regard.
Yeah. Letting those that do it as a website handle all of the UI and backend and all that, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think this is cool. It's a good addition. I'm just saying Spotify as a whole, it's like, I still don't see, this isn't doing much to convince me and probably... Yeah. Most in a similar situation, and I'm happy to be wrong if you feel differently, but this isn't like the big change that's needed. I think it's a cool feature and it's good to have a presence there, be on there, and if you do have shows, it's great because anybody listening now might be able to find you, or you know, but maybe this is a tangent, but it seems like Spotify's big thing though is just that it's like playlist driven now, so how many people are even going to your artist page? I don't know.
No, I think
if it's cool, it's cool because bands in town is cool, right?
Yeah, not because
any benefit is just because of that.
That's
and
true.
And I think, you know, that there is some stuff that's cool about bands in town. What a good idea! Sticking it together with Spotify. Okay.
I think this is interesting. Going in the chat, if you don't mind me. Just saying something from the chat, Curtis, because Bendu was saying, like I said, that they scheduled that for a New York City thing with Survey Channel and that Bandcamp also has this. Yeah, Bandcamp has that, but I think that's through Bandcamp, not like a external, but I could be wrong. But Survey Channel says, yeah, we did this. It wasn't bands in town, though. We used Songkick. Syncs up with Spotify and Bandcamp. I'm curious if Spotify is now teaming up or joining forces with bands in town, does that mean you can't use these other companies that do it? Like, will Spotify be? I don't know. I'm not saying they are. I'm just curious. Is Spotify now going to be like exclusive to bands in town because it's going to build, they're like linking their UI or whatever? That's interesting too. Because what if you can't use the ones you've been using? I don't know. And again, I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm just theoretically thinking, like, oh, if that's the case. Yeah.
I think what, go on, go with that. go with that.
I'm just sharing that. Just that Survey Channel wants to know too. I think in relation to what I'm saying.
I think that may be something that we could always have a look in later on. Yeah. I think what is interesting to lament over is kind of like the state of the indie artist and kind of what's expected of us now. And like for a long time, it's been about that hustle culture. It's been about regular releases. It's been about consistent algorithmic hitting. And for some, it's worked. You can't deny it. For some people, it has worked. And that's fair. Are those days still ahead of us? Probably less so with the whole Spotify changes and the instability of everything. So what's next? It looks like it's being playing live, whether it's a performance or it's a workshop or it's a collective coming together. It looks like that is the way that it's going to be. That's the way it kind of has to go in that regard. This can't stay in the studio. This can't stay on the computer. This has to go out into the real world. And as an introvert and a massive introvert, that sucks because that means I would
slightly disagree with that, as we are inclined to disagree, because you've got live streams and building communities online like Discord. Our Audionautic Discord is great. Now it's not meant to be like promoting artists or anything, but like community, I think, is what matters. Not so much. I think going out playing live shows is like the end goal for a lot of people, but if you don't like that, there's building community in other ways. YouTube live streams, Bandcamp live streams, all that kind of stuff. And there's different things with like the super thanks and super chats on YouTube, mm-hmm. and all that, where you, or Patreon, things like that. I mean, I think it's not necessary that, yes, the new way to do it is the old way, go and play live, but it is in the sense like you need to build community. I think a real fan base out real, like as in building local fan bases and things like that, would help a ton and does make sense. But I don't think that's necessary. If you're like an introvert and you don't like that, I mean, first of all, art is art, right? In the end. But if you're trying to monetize it or get some money to fund it or something, like there's so many other avenues you can also do online.
That is fair. Yeah, like, any thoughts?
Well, I guess playing live doesn't necessarily have to preclude streaming either. I mean, you could like stream your gig perhaps, but yeah, you know, different sorts of concert and things like that. I think, you know, people don't necessarily, I mean, I don't necessarily play live, you know, because it's the most, it's the best way to get money. Although obviously for established artists who used to get money selling recordings and get much less now from streaming, touring became, you know, the best way to earn money. But I think there's a bit of a backlash against that at the moment because everything is so expensive in general.
Yeah.
Been particularly expensive, and I don't want to point the finger or complain about it because there are many reasons why that's the case. And this is the only way some people can make money now. And, you know, they need to live. So I don't know. But I think there's also, like, we play live because it's fun, right? I mean, it is. You play live to a certain extent because you want to. And we go and see live music because it's nice to go and see live people play music, you know. I think it's something that needs to be rediscovered a little bit, really. You know, it's a fun thing to do. Yeah, it'd be nice if it made money, but I don't think anybody's going to get rich doing it.
Yeah.
I think some warp has got it in the sense where, you know, we're still in the era where you need to do a little bit of everything, really. And you can certainly reach a lot more people online, can't you? I think a combination of everything is the way to go. But if you can condense that into, you know, performing live and live streaming at the same time, then obviously you're hitting a few targets at once.
I think that's the way to do it. It's like, do it all. But I was just saying, because Curtis was saying it seems like the only way is live. And I think you're not wrong. I just think there's so many other things. Like, if you absolutely do not want to play live, there's so much you can do online. But yes, it would be best to do it all, right? And we're so far from the original topic here. So let me just rein it in with the chat. And then we'll move into an actual round robin, which this has kind of become, because we're at 12:12 already. So we'll finish off with the round robin. But yeah, I to sum it up, I think this is cool, but now I'm really curious about this. Is it just going to be bands in town working with Spotify? And before I get to the comments about that, two other comments. Asaph Stripe says, whatever regarding Spotify, not part of my plan. That's totally fine, especially given the whole, well, first of all, it's always totally fine. Whatever you want to do with your art, you should do. But given this whole new, it's like the landscape is changing with streaming, with social media, like all this, that all the, I just feel like personally, and I'd love to hear if everybody echoes the same sentiment, but all the current thoughts of like, be on this, do that. It doesn't seem to really make much, like that whole thing doesn't seem to be the right course anymore. Like Spotify now, it's a totally different game. If you're trying to get 1,000 streams per track just to get paid, like, should you be doing monthly releases? Should you be doing three, you know, like this and that? Is it better to do album? Like, everything's changing. And then the algorithmic reach of Reels on Instagram just completely sank. So it's better to do posts or this and that. So it's like everything at once seems to be changing for independent artists. And so we have to kind of figure out what is this new normal. That's how I feel. That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's what we at Audionautic have been trying to navigate through and talk with everyone about for the last couple of weeks, ever since all this came out. So I think that's really the big consideration when we cover these things about Spotify or streaming. It's like, we need to figure out the new landscape, the new normal. Like, what is the new plan of action to go? Like, what's the course, the best course? So, I mean, we don't have it figured out. It's, I don't know if anyone will, but just try to find the best parts and see what works. And so we just wanted to, we want to bring up these things to see, but yeah, thanks Asaph Stripe for that. Fringes of Sound says, now the playlists are AI curated. Yeah, I think we covered in a marketing minute how, was it Rap Caviar, since it's been AI, or maybe it's not AI curated openly or something, but there's been a huge drop for major labels in streams on Rap Caviar, which was like the peak playlist to be on, you know, of editorial. So I'll try to find that and link it in the show notes. Survey Channel, I think regarding the bands in town be if it's going to be exclusive, says I'd be curious to know that as well. I set all that up specifically because it synced to both those platforms, meaning Bandcamp and Spotify at the time. I don't think Bands in Town did. That is kind of a bummer if that's the case. So maybe that's changed in a big way. And Asaph Stripe lastly says, live will always be very helpful for networking at a minimum. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. But like, I find building community on live streams, it's not the same. It's not one-to-one, obviously, but it is really cool when you see the same. But just like here, we have our patrons and our friends hopping in every week in, week out as we get to episode 100 and stuff. And it's awesome to build a community. And it's different than what would be like a live show. And this is a podcast, but I'm talking even my live streams. Curtis, I'm sure you feel the same when you see the same people coming up on your live streams and stuff. It's just awesome to have this community and build. But yeah, actual live performance is usually probably like the missing piece of the puzzle for, you know, starting to grow and build that active engagement and all that. But yeah. Okay. Anything else before we move on to the round robin? We can do the round robin a little quick if we want, but yeah.
Well, good. Let's go through to the round robin. And the idea is we're lamenting and therapizing gas investments over impulse, or the notion of our gear acquisition syndrome. Gas is a thing. It's a real thing. Gear acquisition syndrome is something that afflicts us all at some point or another in various stages. And I want to acknowledge it. I want to talk about it. I have some ideas about it, and I want to kind of talk about it in a way of utilizing it and acknowledging it and bringing it as part of you, as opposed to just necessarily just pushing it away and going, that's a bad thing, I'm not going to do that, that kind of thing. Go ahead.
Before we move on, I do want to say, first of all, any patron that wants to join for the round robin, you're all welcome. Check out the Discord, the patron chat, the exclusive patron chat, if you want to find the link. But we do have Lars, who lovingly made that awesome sax attack earlier. Yeah. So let's bring Lars in. And I know we need to end soon, so we'll do a quick round robin today, and we can talk more about it in the Discord. But let's bring Lars in, and we'll start talking. So yeah, Curtis, let me get Lars in, and then what exactly do you want to cover for gear? Do you want to talk gear acquisition syndrome as it is? Do you want to talk how kind of we deal with it?
I want to talk about how we can utilize it as opposed to see it as a thing which we push away or see it as a negativity thing. I want to look into ways in which it can actually benefit us as producers and musicians.
Ooh, okay. All right. I like that. I like that.
How are you? I want to start with Lars. I want to say hi to Lars. Lars is here. He's just gone to go and pick up his kid from school, and he's raced back, I imagine. Also happens to be able to still be on the Fringes of Sound account while texting. On the
yeah, that was like, that's the same.
How are you doing, bro?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So let's tackle the gas. What about you, Lars? I know you stick mostly in the DAW. But I know you love your plugins, so we can kind of count that as maybe pass, you know, plugin acquisition syndrome. But I'm curious, so it sounds like Curtis wants to treat this as kind of like working with gas. So when you get excited about all these plugins, what do you find, besides just wanting to buy them all, do you find it helps you become a better musician, either because you're getting all this cool new gear, it gets you excited, you know, whatever, or what? How does it work with, against, for, whatever have you?
So it's really cool because a lot of times it's like, you know, I'm a sale kind of person. So I'm on Plugin Boutique all the time. It's just like, ooh, what do you got a deal on? What do you got a deal on? But a lot of times, like, it can be helpful because it's like I'll pick up something new and it's just like, oh, wow, I can use this for a whole lot. Like Sugar Bites Looperator has been one that's like, have not regretted that purchase at all. But on the other hand, the other day I found a plugin, and it's funny because I remembered it because you guys were talking about the Bliss Vox, and I have this plugin from United Plugins called Trap Tune that kind of does the same thing. And I just remembered that I have it 2 years after I bought it, and I have never used it. Wow. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you something really quick, Lars? What was that? I totally forgot to write it down. What were those plugins that you used for that cassette song or album? Remember where you were? It was one company, right? And I'm blanking on the name.
The big one was Mishby by Freak Show Industries.
Freak Show Industry. I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
Sorry again to derail the pod, but
no, it's okay, because that was one of my gear acquisition syndrome impulse buys that actually worked out for me.
There you go. Okay, well, that's cool. And you do have some gear, like you use Machine, right?
I do have Machine, and actually, hang on just a second.
Uh-oh, don't tell me you got something new. Oh, hey! is that a 303?
TD3.
Yeah, it's TD3, yeah. The Behringer clone.
Nice.
I got this like 2 weeks ago, and for 5 days straight, I just would not stop playing with it.
Yeah.
And I realized I'm not good at using hardware.
Yeah, honestly, that's for the best, because you don't want to get into hardware gear acquisition syndrome. Stay with the plugins, stay with the deals.
You been trying to program it though on the actual device itself, or you're just sending MIDI to it?
I've just been trying to program it on the device itself, because I don't because you guys were talking about a DALA setup, how you need the frequency for the brain. Like right now, I have like a scarecrow DALA setup. Like, there's no brain. This is all I got. No brain.
Oh man, that's scary.
You just gotta keep twisting the tempo knobs. Like, okay, does that? Yeah, that sounds right. That's not right.
Some synths though have sync and stuff too that you can send out so that they sync in BPM. Yeah. So you could look in that too. Well, that's cool though. I'm glad you got that. Next, you're gonna get like some type of sampler or sequencer, beat step, something's coming. I'm excited to see where your setup grows to. Actually, so, Machine should work too. DAW is peer pressure. There's no peer pressure. I assume to see that, because once it bites,
peer pressure right now. It's weighing down on me kind of heavy.
Yeah. Well, this is the only gear I have to like show by hand, but here, this is what you need next. The NTS one. And a Kalimba.
Wait, is that Kalimba? Does that have MIDI out too?
No, this is bare bones. Like, it's Curtis has audio outputs, right? And inputs.
I've got one with a jack output. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah.
Is it one of the little piezo mics, or did you get like a guitar?
It's a full guitar plugin. That's the one.
Ooh, nice. That's a good term. All right. So we've heard from Lars. Who do you want to go next, Curtis? Eolite. Do you want to go? I'd be curious to hear your take, quite honestly.
Okay. All right. Okay. I've been meditating on this quite a lot recently, and the idea of what it can tell you, and like maybe it's where I'm at in therapy. I don't know, but it's this notion of what do your feelings tell you, and where is that? Can it tell you about where you're at in your journey, that kind of thing. And I'll use my case study. My case study is currently the SP404. It's the SP404. It's the Hydra synth, or it's nothing, right? And it's one of those, and it's kind of, where am I going with it? You know, it's, do I want this? Do I want that? This can do this. This can do that. It's great, you know. And it's been a true back and forth, really, for the past 18 months or so about whether to do something. And through that, I've learned quite a lot about kind of where I'm at in my journey, what I want to get out of it, and what's more important to me, or where my priorities lie as a producer, right? And we live in this world of consumerism, right? Believe it or not. Who would have thunk it?
Really? Wow.
And this notion of, you know, we're always looking to buy the next thing to add to our collection, and we form an identity around kind of what we buy, that kind of thing. And I'm umming and ahhing, and I'm still on the fence, and I haven't fully decided. And eventually I'll go both, but it's about what I want right now. It's like, I was thinking about the SP404 the other day. I was like, do I want an SP404 because I want to be able to get into doorless? Or do I want an SP404 because I know a lot of people rave about the SP404? Do I want an SP404 because I see a lot of videos about it on YouTube and it looks really fun and really easy? Is it going to serve me in what I want to do? Can I already do something already around it and do something like it in a different way? I've just released a new album where I've done a lot of sampling, and I haven't used a single, the only sampler I've used is a simpler in Ableton. And it's like, it's done me just fine. I'm quite happy with the new album. I'm quite happy with how it sounds. Didn't have any new gear acquisition syndrome effects or anything like that. I mean, just, I suppose what I'm getting at in a very roundabout way is this notion of like.
Oh, did he freeze? Did you guys lose Curtis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is so he's me? Getting that. Okay. You froze back. There for a second there, Curtis.
There we go.
We missed that point.
What I'm getting at essentially is this notion of bearing witness to your gear acquisition syndrome is a really good way to see where you want to go as a producer and where you need to kind of flow and what is taking you to where you need to be. The answer is not necessarily just to go out and buy something straight away, I feel, but the notion of choices and letting it sit for a little while over a couple of weeks or a couple of months, just to see and kind of see where your entry, where is it telling you about where you're on your journey? I think that's kind of a nice little way of thinking about it in that regard.
Yeah, that is a good way to do it. I do just want to say though, that the nice thing with the SP is that USB-T over audio, it works really well as, and I figured out a new thing to not get feedback as an audio interface. So you can use it with your DAW as a sound source for an effects box. So it works in a DAW setup. It works in a DAWless setup. It does it all, man.
Okay, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing.
I know you were saying like to get into DAWless or this and that. I'm just saying one thing to note with the SP is that it's kind of a jack of all trades. It has its negatives. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, but it works really cool in the DAW. I'm finessing. I'm actually trying to figure out a way to use Overbridge into the computer and then use the SP as the effects box, because I figured out a new thing to avoid the feedback loop when you're sending audio in and out of the SP. There's like a setting, I think it's mix in or something. I think that's gonna work, so I'll try. Yeah, I'm gonna try, and then I'm gonna report back, because if I can have that loop for exporting DAWless tracks from the Digitact into the computer to then mix and add, it could work really well. Anyways, sorry, that's a random tangent. I think you have a really good point though, Curtis. Like, and that's kind of what I was going to say, is that when it comes to gear acquisition syndrome, like the first thing I do when I get really excited about something is try and figure out, like you were saying, can I replicate that with what I own, or can I sample YouTube videos into a sampler and like get a little bit of it just to kind of see. But like I just went to NAMM, right? And like ASAP Stripe was saying, the PWM Mantis, which looked awesome, and I think that synth looks awesome. The Hydra synth I got to check out looks amazing, but it's like, how can I kind of get what I was so excited about from those in the setup I currently have? And like I started using my Mini Log again because I really like its versatility and things like that. And yeah, it's just when something new comes out, try to see how can you replicate it, right? Or even like use the DAW, use an FM synth in the DAW and then sample it in and like just find little ways to see what got you excited about it. And like I said, samplers, like that's, if you really like the sound of something, sample it. And then you've got it and you can do a chromatic mode. And yeah, you won't have the versatility, but most samplers have filters and effects. So you can at least mess around with it and get a taste. And I think it's really good to learn something inside and out because you'd be surprised what you can get out of a single box, just knowing how to use everything in it. Like I always use an example of that is the compressor from Logic. There's so much there. And it, like, there's all different kinds of compressor settings, you know, like VCA, Opto, all that stuff. And if you really learn how it works in all those different settings, how it responds to stuff, like you can really get some crazy sounds out of it and use it for ways you wouldn't normally think. And I mean, I use it instead of these other crazy expensive plugins that I have in most cases, just because I know it so well, you know? So there's something to be said about instead of just going and buying every new thing and only using it just a little bit. If you know something inside and out, you can get probably what would excite you in those other pieces of gear from it. Now, yeah, you can't get like an FM sound from a analog synth, but you could do, if you like the pluckier calm sounds, do like a sine trick with the resonance on the mini log or something to get like a plucky triangle waveform or something. So yeah, I just think like learning inside and out. And then if you really need something to fit your setup after that, that's when I buy. If I even have the budget for it, which is usually not. Lars, you said you saw a 202 on eBay. Is that an SP202? The old school? Yep. Dude, those are so sick. I was saying in the chat, but they have such a cool sound because you can do the low bitrate sampling and it just colors it. But it is very, very old now. So a lot of them have issues and things like that. But just for the sound design alone.
Yeah.
Man.
That's the fun part about buying old gear is like, wow, how long till I have to fix this thing or find somebody who knows how to fix it?
Yeah.
Fair point.
Like we haven't heard from you yet. I'm curious to hear your wise words.
Well, as you say, old things develop issues, and I'm here to prove that true. I think, you hit the nail on the head when you said that, you know, if you had two plugins and one's better than the one you know really well inside out, you will probably get a better sound with a worse tool if you know it well enough than something really expensive that is just confusing. I think that the things that you lust after can tell you a bit about what it is that makes you tick and what it is that you want to do and what it is you want to get out of what you're doing. I think a lot of the things that I lusted after were about different types of sounds and accessing a larger palette of sounds and control and having my hands on things and, you know, having that knob function, you know, control of stuff. I like gadgets and so on to a certain degree, but I find that when I work with something physical in front of me, to a large extent, it frees me up to a certain extent, you know, just being able to tweak something and hear a difference and not be using a computer. So I found a lot of the things and a lot of the wanting to have gear was to sort of get away from doing it in the computer, which is just as possible. Let's face it. I mean, as every week goes by, it's easier to replicate the stuff you would do in hardware in a DAW. And each time they bring out an update, you know, they're folding in more of this functionality. So, you know, it's not required. It really isn't. It's just preference if you have it. And to think of like acquisition in the form of plugins, which I have been guilty of in the past as well, like beginning to collect plugins a bit. I mean, I don't really want to have loads because then you've got loads to choose from. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I've had some favorite ones in the past that have fallen by the wayside because they weren't kept up or because they were bought by someone else or, you know, whatever reason, and you lose access to that thing. And I'm a strong believer of avoiding these fully formed products that are like, you know, the best ambient piano thing you'll ever need. It's got every type of sound and pad and thing, and you know, you can just make an ambient track straight away, and it's like, great, and we can all sound the same, and you know, you haven't done anything except pull it, you know. I want to be able to create those sounds myself, so it's something that I've made, not just by pressing keys, but by, you know, layering sounds, running things through other things, you know, so that there's still some sort of creativity to it. But having loads of plugins, I think, makes me stop being dependent on one thing and lets me just see them as tools and things to be chained together. And you know, it reintroduces the play element a little bit, and that's good. You know, play and happy discoveries and accidents and so on is a nice way to approach your music, and some of the best things I've ever done have come out that way. So, yeah, I think it's something to be wary of. I think it can teach you about yourself and what you want to do, but on the downside, it can really slow you down as well. If you don't learn your stuff, you just keep adding things in, you're slowing yourself down. If your goal is to actually make music and finish it, you know, and personally, I'm at the point now where I think I don't need anything. I've got everything that I need. What I need is to make music.
Yeah, that's good. That's the way to look at it. I think, I mean, I appreciate hearing everybody's take. I want to read a little bit of the chat. Poor Survey Channel says, classic SP pressure, fell victim to it many years ago. You didn't fall victim. You welcome the SP into your loving arms. That sound, right? And he's got the OG SP. That compressor is crazy on there. So, yeah. Ace of Stripe, I love this. Buy tools, not sounds, is my new mantra. And I laugh because it sounds like Lars was personally attacked by that statement. He says, my sample collection is crying at this statement. Also, I love this one from Bendu. Well, first of all, Survey Channel says he has a ESX. They're talking about some, what is it, Korgs, the EA-1. And then Survey Channel says he has a ESX-1 Electribe. But I really like this one from Bendu. I feel like I've defeated gas because I currently have a $600 credit at a synth shop here from selling some modules, and I haven't been able to get excited about something to spend it on.
Yeah,
and I'm still making plenty of music. I think that's a great way to look at it.
I would agree.
That's a great way to look at it. But I think that's the thing. I mean, my main takeaway from gas and all that stuff is, first of all, if something excites you, find out why. Because novelty, yeah, is great, but there's probably a reason. And then see with what you have, can you do it? Like, we're talking about the SP202, right? I love that lo-fi sampling rate, but I can get a very similar lo-fi sampling rate with the PO33. So when I need that sound, I just throw it through that. I don't have to buy anything. Don't have to get some really old piece of gear that might break or be broken when you buy it. So I think there's stuff like that. Just try to find little workarounds. And if you're not excited by new gear, that doesn't mean you're not excited by making music. Gear is just to make music. So if you have what you need, then awesome. Like that's my take, but I appreciate everybody sharing theirs in the chat. If you have more you want to share, drop it in the comments when we're done. But we're going to wrap up. Just find out. Let's see what everybody's up to. Curtis, you have a big week this week, I know. So do you mind sharing what you've got going on this week?
I may or may not have just dropped an EP today. Maybe. First release is Maroon.
Maybe?
Yeah. Maybe. No, I definitely did.
Maybe. Mayhaps.
Maybe.
Mayhaps. Yeah, start. It's a trilogy. So Intervoidal 1 dropped on Bandcamp and streamers today. Didn't wait for it, just put it all out there. Couldn't be bothered. But yeah, first, thank you to Sam Walker for mastering it and for the council and the artwork. But it was awesome. There. It's out there. It's fun. It's out. It's trippy and it's weird and it's loungy and it's 070 and stuff. And I'm getting on board with it. It's going to get weird, though. Towards the end of the year, it's just going to get really weird.
That's the way to do it.
I promise. I promise you, it will be weird. So yeah, that's fun. That's out on Bandcamp if you want to go check it out. I'm going to be remixing some of the stems from it in the true Eon Lake fashion, remixing one's own stems in my live stream tonight. So yeah, thanks for that idea, bro. That's nice. Sum up, what are you doing this week, bro?
So I threw up a I just put a link to the thing in the chat to the new EP. So I put up a vote because I hit 2,000 subscribers on YouTube. So I always wanted when I hit that to do a vinyl sample flip, but I was like, you know, I do these live streams and I let everybody choose what to do. So I threw that up as an option, as well as doing a live stream for Sunday, this coming Sunday, with ambient using vocal samples like what we did today, or synthwave with the full Dawless setup. And I suspected, and it's true, that the SP vinyl sample flip is winning. So I have to start sampling some vinyl, and then I have to remember how to use the SP alone, like the pattern changes, pattern sequencing and stuff, because I've been doing this combo with the DigiTact and SP. So the rest of the week is sampling vinyl and then relearning some of the SP only workflow. It's quick. It's muscle memory. It'll be quick. I did a little bit with that NAMM video, but that's my week. I think that's about it. Still got to try and finish. So Stable Diffusion has been down for like 2 weeks for AI image generation. Wow. And I was doing promo for Music for Imagine Landscapes, mixing my jam, like my performance takes, with some like Imagine Landscapes. And then Stable Diffusion went down and I got sick. So I have to finish the last three videos, but I'm trying to figure out a new AI thing to make the videos. And Frequency Control Center, one of our label mates, actually has been using one, I think. What did he call it? Was it Genmo.ai?
Yeah, I've got it here. Hang on.
I wrote it down, I think. But so I'm going to check that out. But I wanted to share it if anybody's looking in the interim while Stable Diffusion is down. It sounds like this might be an option.
Yeah,
because I need to. I have three songs left to finish. I just need to finish those, and it's bugging me. Oh, and I have to ship the international CDs. I got a couple of international sales, so I've got to do the customs forms and all that, and then go to the post office. So,
gross. Yeah,
I'm dreading it, but I am very appreciative that people wanted to get my music, and it's all over the world, so that's really cool. But yeah, the post office visit's never fun, but that's all right. It's worth it.
That's okay.
Yeah, like, what about you? What do you have going on?
I'm still overdubbing at the moment. And
how many overdubs do you have?
There's a track that is really, at the moment, is just the ideas, and I need to do all the overdubs on it. Most of the other stuff is finished. So, but in the interest of revisiting stuff I haven't been on for a while, it's going to be modular based. So I'm going to get the Ensemble Oscillator out, and I'm going to get the spherical wavetable navigator out and see what weirdness I can conjure up with those. And some beads and some other bits and pieces, and Nebula as well. I want to do some more stuff with Nebula, stretching things out and doing granular stuff. So I'm going to be messing around with that, and hopefully getting into a bit of mixing as well. Actually,
that's what exciting.
We need. That's exciting. Well, and Lars, what about you? What's up besides epic sax through Valhalla Supermassive?
Getting the master done on that.
Yeah, that is going to be a theme moving forward. So I actually have just published an album that I finished. It's going to be out on March 8th on Bandcamp and, you know, all of our favorite streaming services like Spotify.
Yep.
Anyway.
A moment of silence of grief.
It's my wife's birthday this weekend, so I'm probably not going to be doing any music, but I've got like three or four other ideas for albums that I haven't even started on yet, and I'm trying to decide when I'm going to start on them. Hopefully next week I start on the next one.
That's what you need.
That's a good place to be in, though, right? That amount of inspiration ready to go.
Oh yeah, I went into this year with like at least 7 or 8 different ideas, and I'm just like, so two of them have already come to fruition. Well, now three, because, you know, you guys, July or August, I think it was August that we're doing it.
I want to say it's July, but we'll refer to Curtis's master calendar.
I'll have a look for the EOS notes, but we're in there.
Well, at least you got Curtis to keep this ship running.
You know what? I don't know nothing. It's August.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so I was completely wrong. So see, there we go. That's why we have the calendar, so we don't have to worry. So we don't have to worry. But that's cool, man. That's really cool. Lots of good releases, I'm sure, and I hope to hear more of that sax track. I hope.
Oh, you will.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you found Supermassive, though. I'm glad it worked out for you. It's an awesome plugin and free.
I used it. I was like, this sounds really cool. And then I was just like, oh, those bastards were right.
We got it. I knew that. I knew it would happen. Now you got to try Paul Stretch, because Paul Stretch is great. But anyways, we got to wrap it up. Heads up, as much as we talk trash on Spotify at the moment, it is still a place of discovery. So we do have a playlist. I am going to update it. We talked about it with the Discord. It's been a little busy, but we're going to start doing monthly updates for it. So the link is in the description if you want to check it out. If you'd like to submit some music, because we're looking for some new music, I'll be making a big update. Pop it in the Discord or message me on Twitter or X, whatever, or Audionautic on Twitter, X, or Instagram. All of those work. But yeah, Discord's probably the best place. We've got a great growing community there. It's a lot of fun. We share samples, all that. So if you just want a cool place like that, you're not there yet, check the description. But with that, we will be back next week. And Curtis, you started the video, so I think you might have to end it. I don't know. I have an end stream button, but I'm not sure if it's going to work. So
I have to push. I have to play the video, and then we'll go there. But yeah, we're back for episode 101. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Just really quickly. Again, massive thank you for everyone who tunes in each week in, week out, listens on the podcast.
Yeah.
Awesome to hit episode 100. Yeah. Just crazy.
I think I think your next ones, you should definitely have a milestone of 202, 303.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, 404. You know, 404 will be expensive. It will be a big one, but we got to get there first. That's a ways off. That's a ways off.
Once again, appreciate it. Thank you ever so much. Here's to, as Survey Channel says in the chat, here's to another 100. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and massive love and thanks to all of our patrons, because it's your support that helps us keep doing these and get to episode 200. So if you do like the show, leave a like. It helps a ton as well. But if you want to help support what we do, more demos, things like that, check out the Patreon. There's a lot that we offer there. Lots of cool stuff. And yeah, means a lot.
For sure. Sure. We'll see you next week. Thank you ever so much.
Deuces.